Disc 6.
The bell rang, and the savage, who was impatiently hoping that Helmholtz would come that afternoon, for having at last made up his mind to talk to Helmholtz about Lenniner, he could not bear to postpone his confidences a moment longer, jumped up and ran to the door.
"I had a premonition it was you, Helmholtz," he shouted as he opened.
On the threshold, in a white acetate satin sailor suit, and with a round white cap rakishly tilted over her left ear, stood Lenniner.
"Oh,"
said the savage, as though someone had struck him a heavy blow. Half a gram had been enough to make Lenniner forget her fears and her embarrassments.
"Hello, John," she said, smiling, and walked past him into the room.
Automatically, he closed the door and followed her. Lenniner sat down. There was a long silence.
"You don't seem very glad to see me, John," she said at last.
"Not glad?"
The savage looked at her reproachfully, then suddenly fell on his knees before her, and, taking Lenniner's hand, reverently kissed it.
"Not glad? Oh, if only you knew,"
he whispered, and venturing to raise his eyes to her face.
"Admired Lenniner," he went on. "Indeed, the top of admiration, worth what's dearest in the world."
She smiled at him with a luscious tenderness.
"Oh, you so perfect."
She was leaning towards him with parted lips.
"So perfect, so peerless are created."
Nearer and nearer.
"Of every creature's best."
Still nearer. The savage suddenly scrambled to his feet.
"That's why," he said, speaking with averted face, "I wanted to do something first. I mean, to show you I was worthy of you. Not that I could ever really be that, but at any rate to show I wasn't absolutely unworthy. I wanted to do something."
"Why should you think it necessary?"
Lenniner began, but left the sentence unfinished. There was a note of irritation in her voice. When one has leant forward, nearer and nearer, with parted lips, only to find oneself quite suddenly, as a clumsy oaf scrambles to his feet, leaning towards nothing at all. Well, there is a reason, even with half a gram of soma circulating in one's bloodstream, a genuine reason for annoyance.
"At Malpace,"
the savage was incoherently mumbling,
"you had to bring her the skin of a mountain lion. I mean, when you wanted to marry someone, or else a wolf."
"There aren't any lions in England,"
Lenniner almost snapped.
"And even if there were,"
the savage added with a sudden contemptuous resentment,
"people would kill them out of helicopters, I suppose, with poison gas or something. I wouldn't do that, Lenniner."
He squared his shoulders. He ventured to look at her and was met with a stare of annoyed incomprehension. Confused.
"I'll do anything," he went on, more and more incoherently. "Anything you tell me. There be some sports are painful, you know, but their labour, delight in them, sets off. That's what I feel. I mean, I'd sweep the floor if you wanted."
"But we've got vacuum cleaners here,"
said Lenniner in bewilderment.
"It isn't necessary."
"No, of course it isn't necessary. But some kinds of baseness are nobly undergone. I'd like to undergo something nobly, don't you see?"
"But if there are vacuum cleaners..."
"That's not the point!"
"And epsilon semimorons to work them," she went on. "Well, really, why?"
"Why? But for you! For you! Just to show that I..."
"And what on earth vacuum cleaners have got to do with lions?"
"To show how much..."
"Or lions being glad to see me."
She was getting more and more exasperated.
"How much I love you, Lenniner,"
he brought out almost desperately. An emblem of the inner tide of startled elation, the blood rushed up into Lenniner's cheeks.
"Do you mean it, John?"
"But I hadn't meant to say so,"
cried the savage, clasping his hands in a kind of agony.
"Not until... Listen, Lenniner, in Malpace people get married."
"Get what?"
The irritation had begun to creep back into her voice. What was he talking about now?
"For always. They make a promise to live together. For always."
What a horrible idea. Lenniner was genuinely shocked.
outliving beauties outward with a mind that doth renew swifter than blood decays.
What?
It's like that in Shakespeare, too. If thou dost break her virgin knot before all sanctimonious ceremonies may with full and holy rite...
For fault's sake, John, talk sense. I can't understand a word you're saying. First it's vacuum cleaners, then it's knots. You're driving me crazy.
She jumped up, and, as though afraid that he might run away from her physically, as well as with his mind, caught him by the wrist.
Answer me this question. Do you really like me, or don't you?